this beautiful day.
I'd like to welcome our people who are out there on the internet. Are we up on the internet, guys? Awesome. I looked at the time and I'm like, wow, I think we're actually right on time. I couldn't have timed that any better if I planned to. If you'll notice, I'm wearing my camouflage today, and many people think, well, camouflage doesn't have any place in church. Well, the amazing thing is, if you look at this camouflage, you will see that it most certainly does. There are doves, crosses, stars, and fish all over this camouflage. This camouflage is Christian camouflage. And I think it's funny because camouflage means concealment. It means to hide. And the reality is, I don't want to hide my faith. I want it to be in plain sight. Can I get an amen on that? And that's really what I'm going to be talking about today. Now, it's kind of neat because you all know we just got back from our men's fall fellowship. We went to the mountains. And I will say this, and I'm probably going to upset some people out there on the internet, and I hope I don't offend anybody here, but it's a reality. We do hunt when we go. And this year, one of our members was blessed enough to take the largest buck that has ever been taken at our camp. Ryan shot an 11-point. Yes, he did. It's quite an accomplishment. It's not the widest rack that we've ever taken, but it's the most points that have ever been taken. And so he gets one of the two notches. He's within the top three animals ever harvested at our camp in 35 years, okay? So what an accomplishment, okay? He only can go downhill from here. Next year he'll shoot a button buck. But hey, we just thank the Lord because two others of us tried and didn't succeed. But the rest of us were out there giving it a good charge. And we just thank God for that and for all of you. The reason I'm bringing that all up is the fact that this sermon is actually born out of my research for our men's ministry. You see, when we go away, it's not just a hunting trip. We go there seeking the Lord. And every evening, the gentlemen have had a scripture that they are to contemplate all day long. And the very first evening, the scripture that we're going to open with was the scripture that I opened our time together with, and it was built from there. At that time, the Lord was also building this sermon for us in my spirit. And so I'd like you all, if you would, to turn in your Bibles. We're going to be looking at Genesis 1, 26 through 28. Because the title of our sermon today is Regaining Our Purpose and Glorifying God. Because many of us, how many of you out there would like to know why you exist? Okay? There's a story out there that says there was a young boy, and he went up to his dad one day, and he was about six, and he said, "Daddy, why am I here?" And his dad looked at him and said, "How in the world do I know?" And that stuck with this young man for years and left him empty, because at the age of six, his dad couldn't even tell him why he existed, why he was on this planet. But God, from the very beginning, and I think this is one of the most amazing things, we all look for why we exist, but do you know that it was the very first thing that God told us as human beings? Let's look at the scriptures. We're going to look at verse 26 through 28. From the 26th verse of the first chapter of the book of Genesis, thus readeth the word of the Lord. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful, and multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. when we look at these verses, we can see here that God had a very particular reason for us being here. God created us to be His image. He created us to rule over this earth. He created us with a purpose. And many of us read that and we figure, oh, well, we have dominion. So that means everything that's here, we have the right to take and do with what we want. Wrong. We are here for a purpose. And that purpose is partially to rule and reign over this earth. But there is a greater purpose that is underlying this that we must all see, because it has to deal with the fact that we are the image of God. Are we God? We need to remember that, because only God has the right of dominion. Everything here belongs to Him. If we are His image, we are to represent Him in this world. So what then is our purpose? To represent God? To what end? And that is where I have to turn to another very famous book. And it is called the Westminster Shorter Catechism. How many of you remember having to go through your catechism? Okay? And in our tradition, we used the Heidelberg Catechism. Okay? Well, the Westminster Shorter Catechism, first question is thus: what is the chief end of man? So that question is a question asking, what is our main purpose? In the end, when all things are tallied, what is the chief end? What is the thing that God is going to say was our purpose? And it's so amazing because Jesus even told us what it was. But do we listen? Because the answer to that question is this: man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. I want you to think about that. Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. God wishes that every man would turn from sin and call upon His name and live. That is what God tells us. That's His word, word for word. That is a quote directly out of the scripture. I would that every man turn from evil and call on my name and live forever. Wow. Is that priceless? Yes, it is, because it cost the very life of God for that to happen. Now, when we think about that, what did Jesus have to say about it? Is it really our purpose to glorify God? I want you to turn to your second scripture for today, and that is in the book of John. Turn to John 13. Turn to John 13. We're going to be in verse 31 when you get there. John 13, verse 31. And it's actually going to be 31 and 32, okay? Sorry, Pete, I didn't tell you that. 31 and 32. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ says: therefore, when He had gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in Him. If God is glorified in Him, God will also glorify Him in Himself, and will glorify Him immediately. Do you understand what Jesus just said there? Jesus was saying that He is now glorified. In other words, He has done everything that the Father has expected of Him, because He brought glory to God the Father through everything He did. When we think about dominion and what it means to rule over this world, I want you to think about what Jesus did while He was here. Jesus took dominion over every situation that He came into. Many of you are thinking, well, how did He do that? Because He laid down His life. Yes, at the end, He did lay down His life because He had dominion over death. How do we know that? Because he rose up from the grave. Can I get an amen and an hallelujah on that one? Because in that, we are alive forever. And we understand that that was total dominion. Nothing could stop him. He had to go there in order for us to be redeemed. But what about while he was alive? What about while he was here? Did God have dominion over everything? I believe, if we remember the stories, the guys had been out fishing all night long, professional fishermen, and they hadn't caught anything. And they were putting their nets together. They were still in the boat. And he said, "Hey, guys, did you catch anything?" "No, it's been a bad, lousy night." And he said, "Well, do me a favor. Throw the net out again." And they humored him. And they caught so many fish that their nets could not contain them. Did he have dominion? Yes. How about in the midst of a storm? He was sleeping in a boat that was being battered by the wind and the waves. He wasn't worried about a storm. He was sleeping. He was resting. The rest of them are bailing water, and they're nervous. They're looking for the life vests and the escape rafts and everything else. And finally, somebody wakes him up and says, "Don't you see what's going on?" And he says, "Don't you know who's in the boat?" And he stands up and he says, "Be silent." And the wind stopped and the waves died. Did he practice dominion? Yes, he most certainly did. He practiced dominion all the time. He took two fish and five loaves, and turned them into a meal for 5,000 men plus all the women and children. Did he practice dominion? Yes, he did. He did everything that the Lord asked him to do. And everything he did, he gave glory to God from. He said, "I do nothing but what the Father tells me to say. I do nothing but what the Father leads me to do." He gave glory to God in everything he did. He took dominion over everything in the name of God because he was the fullness of the image of God in flesh. And that's who we are now with Christ in us. Do you understand that? Before Christ, we are not created in the image of God. Who were we created in the image of? Adam and Eve. Scripture tells us that. Genesis 5 and 3 says, "And Adam begot other sons and daughters in his own image," because he was a sinful man now. There were only two people created in the image of God, and that was Adam and Eve. That's it. And when they broke covenant with God, they brought sin in, and sin changed them. And we have been perpetuating sin in us ever since, genetically. But we can be born again through Jesus Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit, and we can be the image of God again, recreated in that image. And we then have that authority, for the image has been restored to us, our purpose has been restored to us, and we can now begin to walk anew as only Christ in us can allow. And as we begin to walk in that reality, and as we see that the fullness of God through Christ is our model and our guide, may we have the hope of knowing that there's nothing that we can't do. How many of you, when you start a project, and I think it's so funny because I hear it all the time, and I laugh, and folks, I do it myself. You know, I'll start something, and I'll say, "Boy, I really hope this works." Who am I trusting in? God or me? When I make that statement, I'm literally trusting in me, aren't I? My efforts, my work, my power, my strength. Well, let me ask you something. How far do you think that's going to get? I might be able to carry it to the door. But to get it out there in the world and get it alive, it's going to take the strength and power of God. Can I get an amen? Because that's what it takes in all of our lives. You and I, we're futile. We aren't eternal beings. We don't have all the. We're not omniscient. We're not omnipresent. We're not omnipotent. Okay? We are temporal. We're only here for a little while, and we only have a little bit of strength. But the strength of Almighty God, through the power of the Holy Spirit and the restored image, lives in us. and has given us the ability to do and be things that are so far beyond ourselves that all we can do is imagine. Okay? We all know the song, I Can Only Imagine What It Will Be Like. Well, can you imagine what it would truly be like if you dwelt in the Holy Spirit 100% of the time, like Jesus did? Can you imagine what it would be like if you took dominion and you claimed it in the name of the Lord? Now, please remember, there are a lot of people out there who claim things in the name of the Lord. You're like, I'm claiming that $1.6 billion here come Tuesday. Don't even buy a ticket. It's mine. All right? Got a lot of people looking at me and laughing. And you should. You should. All right? Here's the reality. Do you think God's going to bless something that is not of Him? No, absolutely not. But is God going to bless the things that are of Him? Yes, He is. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't believe me, have you ever read this book? Because nothing that has gone out from God has ever failed. Nothing that has gone out from God has ever failed. And it will never fail. But we got to remember, we've got to allow God in here so we know what to do out there. And when we get the two right, we're unstoppable because God will not be found out a liar. Can I get an amen? There is nothing impossible for God. I think Jesus said that. Do you believe it? I do. I do. When we think about what it means to do this, what does it mean to express our purpose and dominion over all and to bring glory to God? What does it mean to be the rulers of this world? The first thing we need to understand is the fact that we are not God, that we are not the ruler. We are the image of the ruler. We are His emissaries here. We are His ambassadors here. We are His representatives here. And everything that we do is to point to Him, to give Him glory, to give Him honor, to give Him dominion. He already has it, but we need the world to see who He is through us, through our actions, and through our lives. That means that we need to put God at center stage of everything that we do, okay? If you're looking for a promotion, the very first thing you need to do is remember God needs to be at the center stage of that promotion. You need to be asking Him to open doors. You need to be asking Him to part the waters, okay? That's why I love that song when you know, she says, when I asked you to part the waters that I wish I could walk through, well, gee, don't you think God needs to open those waters before you can walk through them? I don't know about you, but I can only walk in water that's about this deep. Because anything over that, I'm going to drown. All right? I need God to part those waters. And sometimes He doesn't part them because they're not waters He wants me to walk through. Even though they're waters I want to walk through. Amen? And sometimes we want to climb that mountain and we just ain't getting over that hill. You know, it's just not going to happen. And we cry out and we ask for answers and it sounds like, you know, seems like God isn't listening. Well, you know, God is never inactive because no is an answer. How many of us like to hear the word no? You know, many of you, you know, and you know, I think about Ryan's kids now. You know, when I was little, I was confused. I didn't know if my name was Rich or No-No. We can all relate to that, can't we? Yeah, yeah. I have a dog at the house right now. We're dog sitting Trigger. And I don't call him, no, down, down, down. You know, poor dog probably doesn't, don't you know my name? Yeah, I know your name. But it's the same way in life. And we need to remember, sometimes God does say no. Because it's not for our good, it's not for our benefit. Or perhaps it's not for us to do. Remember, David wanted to build the temple. You know, come on, we're talking King David. Why couldn't he build the temple? He had all the material to do it. David had everything together. But God would not allow David to build the temple. Why? Because it wasn't for David to do. It was for Solomon to do, his son. And Solomon built the temple. Why? Because David was a man of war. Solomon was a man of peace. And we serve a God of peace. He uses war, but he is a God of peace. And he used a man of peace to build his temple. So we need to think about, what's my purpose in life? You know, I may want to climb this mountain. Well, God doesn't want you to be a mountain climber. He wants you to be a fisher of men. Okay? Yeah, but I want to be over here fishing. God doesn't want you fishing. He wants you to be a mountain climber. We all need to remember, God's going to use us differently wherever he wants to use us. The question is, are you going to be available to God where he wants you to be available? I can remember growing up, and how many of you grew up, you know, wanting to be something other than what you have become? You know, every little girl wants to be a princess at some point in time, all right? Every little boy wants to be a cowboy or a fireman, right? Or a police officer or something like that. We all have these idiosyncrasies within us that we have these things that we want to be. But then we begin to grow up, right? And instead of being a princess, well, I want to be a ballerina. And then shortly that dies. Until we come to that place of reality where God has us. And where God has you is where he wants you to bloom, no matter where it may be. Okay? You know, I think about my wife and I. You know, here I am. I was a machinist, and I was a good machinist. Is that where God wanted me? No. God had other plans for me. And when I finally came in line with God, my life took a big change. Here's my dear wife. She started out a laborer. She was sticking handles on mugs. If you ever used a false craft mug, you probably had one my wife made. Okay? She made millions of handles. Put them on mugs for 20-some years, right? Now she works in the cafeteria. And she loves working with the kids. And it's so funny because Charles will tell me, when you walk in there, there's three lines. Lynn's is the longest. Because the kids want to go through her line because she smiles at them and she talks to them. The other women are grumpy. Now, I'm not saying that. That's what Charles said. Blame it on him. I just threw him under the bus. Now I'm going to back over him. Beep, beep, beep. No. But we need to remember, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, that's where God wants you to bloom. He wants you to glorify him where you are and in every way possible, because that's how you show dominion to this world. You show that you are in control. You are. Do you hear that? You are in control. When the Spirit is in you and you are working in the Spirit where you are in control. You are showing dominion. You have rule over that area. Ruth Ann, how many times have you told me the women where you work always come to you and they ask you questions?
They still do when I only work one day.
Why, Ruth? Because there's dominion in you. There's dominion in you. That's God working through you to touch the lives of others around. How many of you can raise your hands and say, oh my gosh, that happens to me too? That's because God is in you, drawing others' lives to you. And when that happens, glorify God. I don't have the answers, but I know who does, so let's go to prayer. How about it? I'm right here talking to a prayer warrior. Boy, she says, you're right down my alley. I know where you are. Preach it, brother. Because that's the truth of it. We need to remember that God has a plan for us. And it's funny because the second question of the Westminster Shorter Catechism, and I'm going to paraphrase it, is how do we do this? Does God give us instructions as to how to do this? B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. If you want to know how to live to glorify God, he has an Old Testament and a New Testament. And in both of them, he gives us verse after verse after verse of how we should live and how we are to glorify him. And I'm going to tell you all right now, it is the only place we need to turn. If you ever have a question, God will answer it through His Word. And I don't care what that question may be, God will answer it through His Word. And to that end, I am going to take you, because, you know, it, for me then to take all that and say, okay, so we're going to go through the Bible beginning to end, and we're going to look at every scripture that tells us how we ought live, right? We would be here the rest of our lives. So I'm going to choose one little scripture, because in this one little scripture, it kind of balls it all up and talks to us. Because this is where I want us to go. This is where I had the men for the last 3 days, looking at dominion, looking at who we are to be and how we're to be it. And because, man, when you're out there in the woods and you know, you think you're all that much, how many of you guys spent time out there in the woods and didn't get a deer? I think there were 8 of us that went, and 1 got, 7 didn't. Now, unfortunately, Brother Chris just left, and he didn't get to get out, okay? And Brother Pete's not a hunter, so he says, you can't blame it on me. And Virginia says, yay! But Brother Chris had medical issues. His foot's acting up again. We need to pray for him, okay? But the rest of us failed at our task. How about it, Charles? A poof and a whiff, right? Yeah. Now, unfortunately, I succeeded, but not very well. I killed a deer, but I did not recover it. And that is a horrible shame. Now, I will tell you this. I will not use that tag for another deer. I've done that in the past, and I'll do it now. I've already used that tag. So I'll not fill it, because that is my showing dominion. Do you understand that? I will honor God. I killed an animal. I took a life. I'll not take another one, because that would not be right. Does that make sense? Again, it's honoring God and who we are. Remember, it's not bad for us to take things. Jesus, you know, he had the fishermen catch a whole bunch of fish more than once. God says that's okay. But do it responsibly. Honor me in it. And that's what we have to do, no matter where we are. And for those who didn't get a deer, did you honor God out there? Were you praising God? Were you seeking God? The answer is yes. They had scriptures with them the whole time, and they were seeking God. What were they hunting? I think it's so funny. I take these guys hunting deer, but the whole time they're out there, they're hunting God. They're looking for Him. And that's what our lives are supposed to be. Searching Him out, no matter where you are. Where is God? Because I'll guarantee you, God is in front of you somewhere, dealing with a person. How about it, Mitch? I think about Mitch and the times he goes out there with his scriptures, okay? And he's handing out those scriptures, and there's somebody out there. God wants you to get that scripture in their hand, isn't it? More than one somebody. And we don't know who it is, but we need to be aware that God wants us to take dominion and take control of those situations. Let's look at how. 1 Peter 4 and 11. Going back even further into the Bible. Did you see how I did that? I covered the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament. Now we're at the back. We went through the whole Bible in 3 verses, in 3 scriptures. Did you see how I did that? I didn't do that. God did that. Because He's showing us the beginning to end. God puts it all together. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. Through the Apostle Peter, the Holy Spirit speaks to us and says, whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, there are several things here I want us to look at, because these are things I want you to write down. I want you to remember these things. In verse 11, it says, whoever, right? Whoever speaks. Then it says, whoever serves. Who is whoever? Every person. If you are in Christ, this is talking to you. No one is exempt. All of us at some point in time say, oh yeah, but God wasn't talking to me about that. Whoever means you. Do you speak? Yes, you do. And even if you're mute, and can't speak, we still speak with the way we act, with the way we present ourselves. So when this is spoken to us, we need to understand it goes beyond words to how we live. Can I get an amen? Because it's not just your words, but it's how you live. God wants us to understand that each of us, whomever, all of us, are to bring glory to God through everything we do, whatever He brings us to. Take dominion, take control, be good at it, be the best you can be at it, glorify God with it. Why? Because whoever speaks is to glorify God, but then it says whoever serves is to glorify God. Now, I think this is kind of neat because there are a lot of people who serve God in their own strength. But that's not what this scripture says, does it? We are to serve Him, but we are to serve Him understanding and knowing that we are operating in extraordinary strength, supernatural strength. Because if you're going to do it in your strength, God's going to let you, and you're going to grow tired, and you're going to grow weary, and it's probably going to fail. But if you do what God has offered up to you to do in His strength, He will see that you succeed exceedingly beyond anything you can expect. Because when we do it in our strength, we're going to fail. But when we do it in His strength, there is more than enough there to see the task through. And I want you all to think about that, because I'll guarantee you right now, there, how many of you have come to the church and you've said, I need you to pray for me because I'm weak, I'm tired, I'm down. And all of a sudden, maybe through a couple of weeks or months, you know, it may take a little while, but now you're back on your feet because God's people prayed and God worked in you in a very miraculous way. Do I know that for a fact? I'm telling you right now, folks, you all know, 7 times I should be dead. 7 times I should be in the grave, and I'm still here right now. I praise Him every day. Every day I wake up and take a breath, I say, okay, Lord, what's for today? Because I know He has kept me out of the grave 7 times. I should not be walking. You all know that. I go out there with these young guys and I walk those mountains and they tell me that I got to slow down. And I have, what's it called? I can't even think of what it's called. Huh? Asthma. Whew. Boy, see, I don't even let the word faze me. It's funny. I mean, I look at this stuff and I think to myself, God, You are so good to me. You allow me to do things. The preaching that I do. Folks, I sat down for it's been like 4 weeks now. I've been putting this sermon together. And I sat down, put this together, and it just amazes me how this stuff flows out of me. It's like, this is Richie Dubs from Glen Rock, Pennsylvania. I know who I am, and I'm not this man. Praise Jesus that He's made me who I am. Because I'll guarantee you, each and every one of us needs to understand the strength of God is where we need to operate. Whatever we do, we are to do it as unto the Lord. Isn't that what the scripture says? Whatever we do, we are to do it as unto the Lord. And that is who we need to be. We also need to remember that it says, in all things. So, when I'm dealing with my spouse and I want to be arrogant and ignorant and selfish, I can do it because we're married, I have a license. You know, my mom and dad used to say that to each other, and now I say that to Lynn, okay? I'll tell her, I'm allowed to do that, I have a license. Okay? And she'll say, you don't have a license for that. But we need to remember, in all things, not some things, all things, no matter what they may be. And I'll tell you right now, Miss Dottie, are there things that happen in your life that you don't like? In all those things, are you still supposed to glorify God? Is it easy? God never said he was going to make it easy. But God did say, I will be with you always. Because we need to rely on his strength to get through those tough times. Can I get an amen? And that's where we need to stand. In all things, in all ways, in his strength, whether serving, whether speaking, whatever it is that we are doing. And the one thing that I want you to remember is, when you give thanks to God, when you praise God, you do so through the name of Jesus Christ and no other. There are many people out there who will say, and we give praise to God. Well, who's God? Who's God? Depends on the people I'm talking to, doesn't it? Your God may be the tree out back. Your God may be the fish in your aquarium. Your God may be this rock over on some Pacific coast. Name the name that is above every name. The name that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess is Lord Jesus Christ, because I'll tell you right now, darkness has to flee at that name. There are going to be many people who are going to get mad at you because you spoke the name of Jesus Christ. I can remember that Franklin Graham was told he could pray, but he was not to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. And he said, I will never do such a thing. And when he prayed at the president's inauguration, he prayed in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Because that is the name, the only name, by which men may be saved. And we need to remember, it's going to make darkness tremble, and we need to make darkness tremble, because we have authority and dominion over it. Don't forget it. That's the reality. And finally, when people say to you, oh, you did such a wonderful job, and you look at them and say, oh, yes, yes, thank you, thank you, oh, yeah, I know, I worked so hard at it. No, we praise God. We praise God. You know, many of you have said to me, Pastor, that was an awesome sermon. Wow, what a service. And you know what I say. Praise the Lord. Thank God, for he has the words of life, and only he. I'm just a messenger. And it's so cute, because some of you will say, yes, but you're the man that he put here to say it. And I'll say, I will take that, because the glory belongs to my God, and you need to remember he's put you here to do the very same thing. Amen. Give God the glory. It's not ours to take. Our whole purpose is to have dominion over this world. And remember, we have dominion to rule over the things that God puts in front of you, to claim it in the name of Jesus Christ, and to give him glory. We in Christ are reborn into the image of God. We are not God. He is God alone, but we, through him, are to show dominion over all things and in all things. My question for you this day, and for all of you out there on the internet, is this. Is there today a place in your life where you need to give up dominion and give it to God? Would you pray with me? Father God, we come before you this day in the mighty name of Jesus, who is the Christ. And we give up ourselves For Lord, we have been told and we know that to die to self is to live as Christ. So Lord God, we give you ourselves. We give you dominion within us and through us, that we may glorify you in all that we are and all that we do. For the life that we have, Lord God, is a gift from you. And we simply ask, Lord, that you would allow us to share that life and that light out into the world, that others may come to know you, not because of who we are, but because of who you are in us and the strength you have given us and the power that resides in us to save others. Because, Lord, it's not us that's saving them, it's you. So, Lord, use us. We surrender ourselves to you this day. In Christ Jesus, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.